So the opening sugya Mesachas Pesachim is the actual obligation of Bedikas Chametz. You know, the Mishnah tells us, or the Arba Asar on the night of the 14th, of course the Gemara has to clarify that the word or in this context does refer to nighttime, but or the Arba Asar, both in the Chametz or Ner, we know that we have an obligation to do Bedikas Chametz. And the question, of course, is why? Now the Gemara itself will point out, on the Dalit Amr Beis, Yamidu Araisa Bitu Bi Al Masagi, that it is sufficient to do bittul. Now, what bittul is a whole other sugya, but bittul we know is sufficient on a doraisa level to accomplish whatever the goal is, bittul is as well, which is subject to machlokas. But nonetheless, bittul is significant on a doraisa level, and midirabbanan, and only midirabbanan do you need to do bittikas chametz. What exactly is the purpose of bittikas chametz? What exactly are we accomplishing by physically searching our homes for chametz and ultimately destroying that chametz? So Rashi on the Mishnah says something that raises many eyebrows, and Rashi says that by doing Bedikas Chametz, one is able to avoid the prohibition of Bayra Bayimatze. That the prohibition of owning Chametz is avoided by searching your Chametz and, of course, by destroying your Chametz. That seems to make a lot of sense as a statement in and of itself, that it is true that if one looks around and makes sure there's no Chametz in your house, and you then go ahead to destroy any subsequent Chametz that you may find, so l'chaora, that makes sense. You wouldn't then violate Bayra Bayimatze. However, precisely based on what the Gemara had already said, that we referenced the Gemara of Daled, Tosfos, of course, is very bothered. Rashi, why would you need to do Bedikas Chametz to avoid Bayra Bayimatze, considering that in terms of Bayra Bayimatze, that's exactly where Bittul comes along and says that and precludes Bayra Bayimatze by doing Bittul. That is what you do in order to avoid Bayra Bayimatze, and therefore, certainly on a level of Midoraisa, there seems to be no reason at all to be concerned about Bayra Bayimatze. And even on a level of Midurabanan, why would the Rabbanan obligate you to do Bedikas Chametz, considering Bittul is the mechanism that takes care of Bayra Bayimatze? And therefore, Tosfos leads us to a different direction, and a much more practical direction. Tosfos believes that the Rabbanan had a very obvious concern, that even though you may not violate Bayra Bayimatze, because you've done Bittul, nonetheless, if you're able to have Chametz lying around your house, now this Chametz is not going to give you a Bayra Bayimatze problem because you've done Bittul. And according to Tosfos, anyways, Bittul is the equivalent of Hefker. You've made your Chametz Hefker, and therefore it is not yours. And because it's not yours, there's no violation of Bayra Bayimatze. That being said, if you have Chametz lying around your house, what concern does exist? There's a Chashash Achila. There's a concern that you might inadvertently come to eat your Chametz. I always tell my Talmidim the following mashal. Mashal Mara Dabardome. When I was younger, I used to pound those blueberry Nutri-Grain bars. Oh, the memories of that Nutri-Grain bar in my lunchbox as my opening snack for the morning snack during recess. Oh, such good memories. So the gooey blueberry oozing out of the Crunch bar. So those were so good, and especially the very pretty color of the blue wrapping on the outside. What makes it really, really good, and I don't know to what extent it was actually healthy, but like all breakfast bars, there's certainly the perception that these are healthy snacks, whether they are or not. You know, that's a separate issue. So imagine if in the middle of the night or in any other time on Pesach, without thinking, I came across, oh, I saw that blue wrapping paper, and it just got my attention. And without thinking, I opened it up. Of course, I would make a bracha, because you can't eat without a bracha. Turns out I would eat, man, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I just ate chametz on Pesach. Chas v'chalila. So Tosfos therefore says, in order to make sure that I, Rafi Mandelstam, do not come across any Nutri-Grain bars over Pesach, or you, or any other Jew for that matter, in order to ensure that we do not come to violate the Isser Achila of Chametz, the Isser Achila, of course, being an Isser Kares, Tosfos explains that Bedikas Chametz is purely to avoid any concerns of eating Chametz. That is the fundamental machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos. To what extent is the issue of Bedikas Chametz, is it a expansion of, or some form of a protection against the prohibition of Arba Yimatze, or is it simply a necessary step to ensure that one not come to eat Chametz on Pesach? Now, there are many, many, many potential nafka mina, many, many differences between Rashi and Tosfos that one may, that the Rishonim already bring up, as well as the Achronim, as to whether or not Bedikas Chametz is targeting the Isra by Rabbi Matzei, it's all about avoiding by Rabbi Matzei, or whether or not it is simply avoiding the Isra of coming to eat your Chametz. So, nafka mina number one is already mentioned by Tosfos themselves, as well as the Rush. And that is the following. What about a scenario involving chametz that's simply that's not subject to Bayra Bayimatze? Meaning, is what? What does that even mean? If you have chametz, then it's subject to Bayra Bayimatze. No. There's chametz that may, in fact, be usher to eat, but not subject to Bayra Bayimatze. For example, Leshitas Rabbeinu Tam, later on in the Masechta, in the third parak, says Rabbeinu Tam, in one of the opening Tosfos is there in the third parak, Ta'arovas chametz. Chametz that's in a mixture that lacks a significant enough of chametz in that mixture, significant enough to involve in Isser the Oraisa of Achila. As the Torah tells us, Komach Metzes Lo Yisochelu, the Rambam, anyways, counts it as a separate Isser the Oraisa to eat Chametz Petaroves. So if Taroves Chametz has an Isser of Achila, but says Rabbeinu Tam, there is no Isser of Bayra of Bayimatze. So is there any prohibition, is there any need, rather, to check your house to ensure that all of the Chametz Betaroves is removed? See, according to Rashi, that the now here we're going to have to obviously mix and match a little bit. According to Rashi, that the reason for Betikas Chametz is to avoid Bayra Bayimatze within the worldview of Rabbeinu Tam, anyways. So then perhaps there'd be no reason to Betikas Chametz and no reason to get rid of any Chametz from your house that is, you know, Chametz Betaroves. While according to the reasoning of Tosos here in the beginning of Pesachim, that the reason is to avoid Achilas Chametz, so then even though there's no Bayra Bayimatze for Chametz and Taroves, perhaps the obligation of Betikas Chametz may still exist. Now one could simply argue on that point by saying the following. No. See, even though you have Chametz Betaroves, even if there's an Isra, even an Isra Daraisa, like the Rambam claims of eating Taroves Chametz, just because there's an Isra to eat Taroves Chametz doesn't necessarily mean that Betikas Chametz would apply to it, even according to Tosfos, for the following reason. What is it about Chametz that warrants this additional strict approach of obligating not only, for example, you can't own Chametz, you can't eat Chametz, but you even have an obligation to find it and get rid of it? So that is arguably because of the chumras of Chametz. Chametz is an Isra Kares. So when you have an Isra Chametz that's an Isra Kares, like actual Chametz Be'en, real bona fide Chametz, not in a Taroves, so that's where B'dikas Chametz would exist. But when it comes to Chametz and a Taroves, maybe even Tosfos would be Modeh, that there's no reason to B'dikas Chametz simply because the concern of Achila, yes, is there a concern for Achila? There might be a concern for Achila, but would that Isra Achila generate an Achiv of B'dikas Chametz? Not necessarily, simply because it's not as severe of an Isra Achila. So, potential nafkamina number one. Anyways, is there a B'dikas B'dikas Chametz for Chametz in a Taroves? Number two is simply how you understand a statement of the Mishnah and explained by the Gemara later on, when the Mishnah and the Gemara talk about an obligation of B'dikas Chametz, B'soch HaMoed, and even the Acher HaMoed. There is an obligation, obviously, of B'dikas Chametz Kodem HaMoed, but then the Mishnah goes on to say that if one didn't do B'dikas Chametz before the Moed, before the Moed, then there's a continued obligation to do that during the Moed, as well as after the Moed. What exactly does that mean? Rashi says something rather surprising. Kodem HaMoed means before Sha'ashishas of Erev Pesach. Acher HaMoed refers to after Chatzos, after Sha'ashishas of Erev Pesach. And that's Pesach HaMoed. Sorry, Pesach HaMoed actually means rather B'Sha'ashishas, and the Acher HaMoed means even after that, in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. What Tosos there on Daf Yud points out is that Rashi L'shitaso cannot understand this Mishnah to be referring to B'dikas Chametz for La'akar HaMoed literally. Meaning, Pashup Shat of the Mishnah is La'akar HaMoed means after Pesach. If you fail to do B'dikas Chametz, then you have to do B'dikas Chametz during Pesach, and if you fail to do B'dikas Chametz, then also you have to do B'dikas Chametz even after Pesach, considering that you're going to have an issue involving Chametz Sha'avar Allah B'Pesach. However, that which is exactly what Tosos says. Tosos themselves point out that Rashi couldn't say that, which Rashi doesn't say, because according to Rashi, why would there be any reason to do B'dikas Chametz for Chametz Sha'avar Allah B'Pesach? Everybody agrees that there's no issue of Bayra Bayimatze. There's no prohibition of owning Chametz Sha'avar Allah B'Pesach. There might be an Isra D'Araisa according to Yehuda and an Isra D'Rabbanan according to Rabbi Shimon of owning Chametz Sha'avar Allah B'Pesach, but that's a separate issue. Sorry, not of owning Chametz. Of eating Chametz, of being Nenev from Chametz Sha'avar Allah B'Pesach. But everybody's motive, there's no Isra of Bayra Bayimatze after Pesach is over. And therefore, according to Rashi, that B'dikas Chametz is purely to ensure that you do not violate Bayra Bayimatze. There seems to be no reason to obligate one to do B'dikas Chametz for Chametz Sha'avar Allah B'Pesach once Pesach is over, as there's clearly no reason to be concerned for Bayra anymore. And therefore, Rashi says that the Mishnah must be referring to all within Erev Pesach itself, not at all referring to after Pesach. That is number two. Number three seems to be a fundamental issue that might actually really play a role in understanding this machlokas anyways. Is there a chiyuv of Bayra Bayimatze in general for Chametz Eino Yadua? There's Chametz in your house that you simply do not know about. You mamish just didn't realize there was Chametz hiding in the back basement. Would there be a violation of Bayra Bayimatze for Chametz that's really not so accessible and simply out of your knowledge? You did not know about it. So Rashi must assume that the answer is yes. Because according to Rashi, that's exactly what you're looking for. B'dikas Chametz is coming to avoid Bayra Bayimatze. So therefore what? What are you looking for? You're looking for Chametz that you may not have known about. Tosfos explicitly says, in Dav Chaf Aleph, if I'm not mistaken, the Rush says this as well. The Rush as well as Tosfos both say that there is no Bai Rabbi Matzei for Chametz that you do not know about. And therefore what? How does that translate to our machlokas here? See, according to Rashi, the Bai Rabbi Matzei is the reason for B'dikas Chametz. That makes sense. Because why? You're going to need to look for Chametz that Eino Yadua, that you don't know about right now. You need to look for it to see, make sure you don't have any, lest you violate Bai Rabbi Matzei. See, according to Tosfos, that wouldn't be by a violation of Bai Rabbi Matzei anyways. Because if there's Chametz in your house that you simply are completely unaware of, that, according to Tosfos, would not even be a violation of Bai Rabbi Matzei. Therefore, B'dikas Chametz would not be logically coming to serve the function of finding that Chametz that you don't even know about, considering that it would not be a Bai Rabbi Matzei problem anyways. And therefore, according to Tosfos, what Chametz are you looking for? You're looking for any accessible Chametz that you might have so that you don't come to eat it. But in terms of Bai Rabbi Matzei, you wouldn't violate Bai Rabbi Matzei anyways for Chametz She'eino Yadua. Last but not least is the following issue, and that is one of the most, I would say, practical issues about what level of B'dikas Chametz is necessary, and that is the question of crumbs. Is one obligated to really clean their house for crumbs? Like, I'm not talking about, like, the disgusting crumbs underneath one's oven or behind under the couch. I'm saying, no, that's, like, disgusting, and no one's going to eat that. It's not food anymore. That's probably not even an issue. But with respect to sizable crumbs that are not so significant, but nonetheless, one might theoretically eat them. They're not disgusting. But nonetheless, they are very, very small, and they're very insignificant in comparison to actual normal chametz that you might eat. So there's a major debate in the poskim if there's really a chiyuv of b'dikas chametz when it comes to crumbs. So the Chayyadam is of the opinion that you do not need to be mevatel crumbs. The Gemara actually says that explicitly, that there's no reason to be concerned with Rabbi Matzei when it comes to crumbs, because they're not lo chashivi. They're not significant enough in terms of dinei mamonos. They're certainly not significant enough, and therefore there wouldn't be any reason to be concerned for ownership of crumbs. But in terms of a concern to come, you might come to eat them, and therefore says the Chayyadam, there is a need to do B'dikas Chametz and to get rid of crumbs from one's home. While the Magen Avraham and the Magen Gaon say, nope. If you know that you may have some crumbs, again, not to the point where it's completely disgusting. Let me just point out that clearly, you know, our standards probably have changed. And my wife, who's listening to me record the show right now, is thinking to herself, in what world is there a concern that you might come to eat crumbs? Well, my dear wife, our daughter might come to eat crumbs because she, well, you never know. She's a little kid. Also, high school boys, TABC high school boys, the ones I teach, also will likely eat anything. If you're wondering, what do my daughter and TABC boys have in common? That's the answer. They probably would eat anything. And therefore, if there's a concern for achila, and that is the primary the reason behind B'dikas Chametz, so then as long as there's a chashash achila, even for the type of chametz that's not subject to Bai Rabbi Matzei, as we said, number one, with respect to the chametz b'tah roves, alibi the Rabbeinu Tam, as well as crumbs, there will be no reason for B'dikas Chametz for such chametz, if the reason for B'dikas Chametz is for Bai Rabbi Matzei, like Rashi said. But if the reason is for to make sure that you avoid any issues of achila, so then perhaps here you would have to check, as argues the Chayi Adam. The last point I wanted to make for tonight's shiur, again, our introductory sugya of B'dikas Chametz, just a very basic overview of some of the issues that come up, is going back to Shitas Rashi and how Rashi justifies his explanation, considering that how could you say that B'dikas Chametz is about avoiding Bai Rabbi Matzei, considering that one does bitul anyways. And Gemara even says, as Tosfos points out, while he asks on Rashi, that one does B'dikas Chametz, you still need to do bitul anyways. So you're going to be doing bitul anyways, why then would one need to do B'dikas Chametz in order to avoid Bai Ra? What was wrong with Bittul? Says the Ran the following beautiful explanation. Rashi must be of the opinion that Mida Araisa, one of the two, namely B'dikas Chametz or Bittul, are going to be good enough. Meaning, Rashi is basically saying that absent the world of Bittul, Mida Araisa, all you need is B'dika. Mida Araisa, you don't need to do Bittul. Mida Araisa, you need to do either Bittul or B'dikas Chametz. And the question then, of course, is why then did the Rabbanan make you have to do both? Meaning, if Mida Araisa, Bittul is good enough, why then did the Rabbanan obligate you to do B'dikas Chametz anyways? And says the Ran, a very powerful idea. The Ran says, simply put, we don't trust your Bittul. When one's mental or state in terms of their decision to nullify their own Chametz, how serious is that statement? How much Gemira's Das do we really expect you to have? It is so easy for a person to change their minds within a matter of seconds. It's so easy for a person to almost regret and almost undo their bittul to the point where maybe your bittul is simply just not serious, and therefore maybe it should not be relied upon. And therefore the Rabbanan said, don't rely on the machshava alone, rather do a maisa, do an action. Do something proactive in terms of getting rid of your chametz. And I always find this idea to be very powerful when you consider the Gemara Maseches Brachos of Yud Zayin, which compares chametz to the Yetzer Hara. Now, why that is a great question, not for now. But the fact that there's such a comparison, you know, opens up a door to a lot of beautiful explanations for a lot of the halachas of Pesach with respect to how we treat chametz. And with this Ran in particular, what's the idea? When it comes to how we relate not only to chametz, but to our Yetzer Hara. How should we get rid of our Yetzer Hara? Very often we think that our mental stipulation, our commitment to avoid Yetzer Hara, to no longer engage in certain activities, we think that that's good enough. I've committed. I'm not going to do it again. Well, that's not often good enough. In fact, most of the time, that's not going to be good enough because, you know what? Mental decisions, commitments are not necessarily so permanent. They're not necessarily so concrete. And if one wants to really actualize some change, you need to put it into action. You got to make those words that you express into actual real life actions. And therefore, just like when it comes to B'dikas Chametz, it's not enough to rely on Bittul. You gotta do B'dikas Chametz. You wanna get rid of your Chametz? Don't just verbally declare your Chametz null and void. Look for it and get rid of it. So too, when it comes to Chametz, to your Yetahara in general. It's not enough to just make declarations of avoiding one's Yetahara, avoiding Averos. Be proactive. Figure out a way to actively rid yourselves of Averos. Maybe doing some mitzvos. Maybe doing something to put in additional gedarim, additional siyagim, the asur siyag l'torah, just like the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Avos, that is precisely what is behind as well, the issue of bedikas chametz, despite the fact that maybe a rice of bittul is good enough, and that is the Ran's explanation of Shitas Rashi. Shkoyach everybody for a wonderful opening sugya of bedikas chametz.